This is Spoken by Elswith, a Femdom Hypnosis podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe. Plus, visit my website for sessions too intense to be included here. Visit my Patreon to collect your free codes for sessions. There's a new Sabriel session on its way. You know how it is to be my eternal suitor, my mind-fucked hypno-slave. You like when you're confused. You like when you're not sure what's real. And you like the deniability that my control gives you. That control that you allow me to have. Follow the breadcrumbs that I've left for you and find out more. Hey guys, welcome to today's episode, which is basically a Tulpamancy podcast. Now, I'm guessing for a chunk of you, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's okay, because I'm about to explain it, and then you're going to join me on a session to try it out. So make sure you have your sense of adventure ready, which I know you do, because if you didn't, why are you listening to me? When you were a child, did you ever have an imaginary friend? Now I will say, I wasn't lonely growing up. I think that might have been impossible with the mess of cousins everywhere and around. I feel like in some way or another, just about all the people I knew through my childhood somehow managed to be related or related by marriage or whatever. But generally speaking, almost everybody around me knew everybody else around me. I also had a typical school experience with living, breathing friends I can still remember, and obviously quite a few I am still in touch with. We still keep up to date online, even though we are scattered all the way around the world. And this is true for people I met when I was, you know, still at that stage where some of them were eating glue. I have a sibling. We got along just fine. And again, like I said, plenty of cousins everywhere. But I had an imaginary friend. And I didn't grow out of that habit. Now, there is a technical term for this style of daydreaming, but I am not in the habit of diagnosing myself, and nor do I want to be diagnosing you or inventing, more things for you to Google, to Dr. Google, right? So let's just say that. Had an imaginary friend, didn't grow out of the habit. By the time I came to my late teens, I had a few more. Now, some people may just refer to this as character building or world building. And, well, you know, if that makes you feel more comfortable or if it's easiest to explain, that's fine. But that's not what this was. And no, for my nosy ones, I am not going to tell you any of their names. That's not something that's on the table. What I want to share with you today is a bit like an instruction manual for making your own habit, hobby, and if you like, it's a fun way that you can explore hypnosis, kink, fetish, and other fun things in a different manner. Why, you know, with kink specifically? Because I recently released a new session that focuses on sissy-made play. Now, that is not everyone's cup of tea, which is fine, but it is the perfect example for today. In that Sissy Made play session, it involves switching between two different personas, two different imaginary characters. If you don't know already, I have three different maids, each with their own personas, their own preferences, their own mode of dress. Their names are Pixie, Prissy, and Margaret. And I can imagine those characters perfectly well. And if you can too, the events described in that session, they can be particularly, shall we say, engaging. No. Fulfilling. That's better. Now, if you're inclined to take on the role of my pretty dressed-up maid and have your mistress play with you, then you could do no better than the hypnotic session linked below. I'll make sure it's super-duper easy to find, since maids can be a bit ditzy and need an awful lot of direction and correction. Now, I consider myself a writer, if not an author. That is actually a bit of a joke between myself and some of my friends, the whole writer-author thing. I do try to not take myself too seriously when it comes to these labels or be too pretentious. I'm literally just doing things that I enjoy with other people who enjoy it as well. Right? That's what we're doing here. We both love to indulge imagination and creativity, and this is the perfect way to do it. As for writing, I've written quite a few short stories. I have written a full length, but still unpublished, because I haven't been pushing at it, romance novel. Like I said, I'm still not sure what I like to do with that yet. And of course, I've written so many, many words that become these Spoken by Ellsworth sessions. I've said before, and it's still true, that I enjoy every aspect of Spoken by Ellsworth. Interacting with my listeners on Patreon. I do like how those messages just go back and forth. And I've also learned to actually enjoy doing the YouTube comments. Getting all of your wonderful and constructive feedback. Getting amazing session ideas as well. And honestly, just trying to do better by us all the time. But it's the opportunity to create these unique works that is what makes it stay interesting. Now, especially the Sabriel sessions, getting longer, the listening rooms, those rather unique experiences that push limits and experiment with the form. I know, because of your comments and the feedback, that quite a few of you have come here for something in particular, found that the sound of my voice just pulls you in, and you've tried things that you never expected to try, and enjoyed them. So okay, getting back on track, I've heard in more than one place that a not insignificant number of authors imagine speaking directly with their characters in interviews and on podcasts and such. I'm going to guess this is most likely from the Writing Excuses podcast, because I have listened to an awful lot of that. This has always been the case for me, because those early imaginary friends, they were characters in their own stories, born from reading an awful lot of books. Adventure, sci-fi, fantasy, and romantic literature. There's a published study of a small number of writers at a book festival in Scotland. I'll add a link in the notes for you. It confirms that a significant number of these writers imagine their characters as real people. Almost 2/3 said they heard their characters' words in a distinct voice. This I found particularly interesting. 1 in 10 imagined their characters reading over their shoulder as they wrote. Some of these authors talked about how they continued to imagine these characters after their story was written. Now, think of your favorite author who wrote about the same character for years and years. Someone who created a long-form serial work or a bunch of novels. I could imagine a character like that staying around even longer, likely waiting around in case they're needed again. That's always a possibility, right? After having held onto some of the same childhood imaginary friends, bringing them along with me into adulthood, I eventually stumbled onto a word for what I'd done quite naturally, a tulpa. Now, there's a lot of other information out there. Some of it conflicts with each other, and I gotta be honest, there's a lot of opinions as well. But there we have it. Tulpa, a name for the psychological phenomena. As I said, I want to share with you a sort of instruction manual for experimenting with creating your own tulpa. I subscribe to the idea that hypnosis is a similar psychological experience. So, if you found me, and you have, I believe that you will find this interesting. Every resource I have read, and my own experience, makes it clear that this is a slow process. That's why I've created this session as something that can be repeated, and should be repeated, with suggestion for only a light hypnotic trance that you can easily lift yourself up out of. And I've been thinking about how I can expand on this session, give you more tools to work with. If this is something you want or need, then please let me know in the comments. Do the usual YouTube and podcast stuff too, right? It only helps the both of us out because it continues to help the podcast be found, which allows me more time to dedicate to it. So hit the like, hit the subscribe or favorite, and be sure to rate it if you're listening on one of the podcast providers. Oh, and I forgot one. Click the bell. This is a tulpamancy themed session spoken by Elswith. Before I help you find a restful state of trance, now is the time to talk about what we're going to work on in this session. I broadly split the process of manifesting a tulpa into 3 steps: characterization, visualization, and communication. This session focuses on visualization and on developing the practice of doing that in a meditative state. So, why not start with characterization? While I do plan, and have a lot of it completed, this session about characterization, one that I know you will enjoy and make use of, I have to admit It's a rather simple process, and I actually believe that it's easier to do while conscious and aware of all of your thoughts. I think that the three stages, characterization, visualization, and communication, that they're progressively more difficult. And they require more time investment to move through. I expect you to want to, and also to have to, listen to this very session a few times before you feel like the process of visualization is moving forward. I expect you to practice visualization of your talpa outside of making use of this session. I also expect you to feel like you suck at this. I expect you to think about skipping this whole thing and heading off to hear one of my simpler, easier, more gratifying sessions. You should do that part, but later. Stay with me, and let's have fun with this. Now, enough about my expectations of you until later. When you're deep in trance, and you are ready, and you are open to accept my suggestions. Right now, you can make sure that you are comfortable. You can switch off to external distractions. Perhaps you don't have total solitude, and there are other people, maybe in the adjacent room, maybe on the street outside. But these people are easy for you to tune out. You can make yourself physically comfortable, and you can allow yourself to focus entirely. Focus entirely on what I am saying to you. You know that part of this time together, it involves you focusing entirely on me and on what I have to say. Maybe you haven't started to completely focus on me and on my voice, and maybe you still need to stretch out some small discomfort. Maybe you need to close your eyes or scratch your nose. Maybe there's some other little distraction you can take some tiny step to remove. Now, let's talk about that first step in the process. I think that characterization can be quite easy. I think that if you haven't done it already, you can do it right now with me. And I think that it's easier for you to do it than many other people who might want to create a talpa for other reasons. And I'm going to be rather candid. There are a dozen other places you could learn about this process. Written guides and podcasts and videos, maybe even other hypnosis sessions. But you are here, in my estimation, because you want to connect this process to some element of kink or fetish, or to hypno in specific. You may have a complete concept of characterization in your mind already, and that's good. But you can probably come to a pretty firm understanding of your desires in just a few short minutes with me. You know who this talpa is already, don't you? It's not a huge leap from who you are to who they are. Perhaps it's a simple shift, that they're just open to suggestions, the kind of suggestions you know that I will give them. They are more open to it, more willing, more easily swayed by trance and conditioning than you are. That might even be a very general thing. Your tulpa might be like you, very much so. But with your anxieties around giving up control to another, even someone you trust, those anxieties removed or just dialed back, they would find it easy to slip into a submissive role, would find it easy to be good, to obey. And if that's not it, and that's not all, then maybe your tulpa is enthused about a specific naughty interest that you're lukewarm on. I'm not judging, I'm not even teasing. I'll just say one or two of the most tame ones, so we all know what we're talking about. Maybe your tulpa will be excited by denial. Maybe you want this altar to fall deeply into an obedient, pet-like mentality. All of this is good and fine. And most importantly, it is easy for you to think about and accept or dismiss as appropriate to you. As you consider that for a moment, also notice that you're finding that as I've been speaking to you, you have done exactly as I suggested. You have gotten more and more steadily relaxed. You are ready to hear more. You are ready to hear more of my suggestions. Think about a few moments ago when I was talking to you about closing your eyes, or even earlier when I was talking to you about ignoring the sounds you might hear around you. Get a sense of how much more open you are right now than you were before. And know that you were able to go so far into being calm and relaxed and open in such a short time. Right now, as you think about the different ideas that I've just put into your mind, remember the question I asked you. I asked you whether you already know who this tulpa is. And as you're thinking about your answer to that question, think about this. It's quite possible that this isn't the first time that you've pondered this question. Quite possible that this isn't the first time that you've heard these words. And if that's the case, then you are in the wonderful position of being able to build on your previous efforts, to add to those defined traits that you have already determined, or to shape them into something more specific. And as I continue, so you can continue to do this. I have been talking to you about characterization, and I made a prediction. My prediction is that you already have a good idea about who the tulpa you want to create is. And I believe this because you are here, seeking out this how-to. taking this advice and this information from me and knowing who I am. And so, I further believe that work of characterization can be done within mere moments. These aspects of the character of your talpa, the ones I've been talking about, we'll just call them traits. Can you imagine even one trait of the talpa you would like to visualize? Just one trait that you can put into words. If so, you are ready and able to move forward in this process that I'm laying out for you. In just a moment, I am going to tell you to sink for me. And when you hear this simple suggestion, you are going to immediately drop. Immediately drop deep to the most complete state of trance that you're able to reach right now. You don't need to worry about this at all. You don't need to try to make it happen. And when I tell you that it will be the most complete state of trance that you are able to reach right now, I'm being completely honest with you. And whatever state of trance you're able to achieve, it will be the exact right depth for you to be at this moment, and the perfect place for us to work on visualizing your talpa. So now, sink for me. Sink into the deepest state of hypnotic trance that is possible for you to reach right now. Now that you're here, you are ready to listen carefully. You are able to accept my suggestions. And this next suggestion, it is a particularly important one. In fact, you can think of it almost like a rule, and a rule that you agree to follow to continue. If at any point you feel like it is necessary, you are ready and able to lift yourself out of this state of trance. This is something that can be done quickly, and even if you are comfortable and deep for me, coming up and out of trance will be a purely pleasant sensation. Bringing yourself up and out of trance will make you more aware of your surroundings. And it will make you immediately ready to respond to any real need that you are presented with. And you are able to retain the calm state of relaxation that you are experiencing at this moment. For the next short while, I will help guide you towards the correct approach for visualizing your talpa. I'm going to offer you my further suggestions on how you can create a mental image, engage your senses, and project your talpa into your headspace. I am going to give you some quiet, some space, to consider each suggestion I give you. And I'm going to encourage you and give you suggestions that are going to lead you back to this process and to this practice for as long as you are willing and able. Key to my experience of talpa creation is visualizing a headspace, also sometimes called a wonderland. You may be someone for whom the location of your headspace is obvious. A somewhere immediately jumps to mind, and what I say next, you can safely ignore. Be patient, you clever one. If it isn't so obvious, you can consider visualizing almost anywhere. But if you want to do things my way, you should pick somewhere unique to you. So don't visualize sitting at your real-world kitchen, but instead choose a homey farmhouse kitchen. Take in the smell of the wood-burning fireplace and the sensation of your elbows against the heavy wooden tabletop. The sound of tea being poured. Don't try to picture a real-world park you know. Instead, imagine the gardens of a stately home. Imagine the crunch of gravel footpaths between immaculately pruned topiaries. Imagine that it is night and your way is illuminated by lantern light. Imagine sweet honeysuckle in the air. And you may need to imagine that if you have no idea what honeysuckle is. Don't try to picture a beach that you know. You can hear the roar of the waves, but they're cascading over shockingly pink sands. Strange birds fly overhead. The sun is too bright to really focus on them. And you're drinking not rum from a not a coconut. It's potent, and each sip makes your thoughts swim. Imagine these things, or imagine anything or anywhere else. Imagine the inside of a giant shoebox with a floor of crinkly white tissue paper. Imagine the inside of a genie's bottle. Imagine your headspace, or hey, go ahead and borrow one of mine, and let's continue. Keep engaging your senses. You have so many of them that can be useful here. You are going to begin to visualize your tulpa in this space you have chosen. Each time you think of your tulpa, their image is going to become more and more solidified in your mind. At one point, you might notice their hair in particular, the color, and how they wear it. Another time, you might notice their height relative to you, the way they stand or sit. Further still, you might make out their facial features. You might see their expression. Think about how your tulpa likely feels about you. You can puzzle this out, and you can see their emotions on their face. This is one of the hardest things I will ask you to do in this process. But I promise, that your ability to do this will improve as you practice. Don't stop at what your tulpa looks like. They might move around your headspace now, and you might hear their footsteps. You might hear their breath. If they come closer, you might catch their scent. Don't worry about whether you can see all of these things I'm suggesting to you, or whether you can experience all of them at all right now. You know that this is sometimes a long process, if not a difficult one. For your first time, this is especially true. But we're in no hurry. There's no rush here. This is fun, and we love to create together. Now, if you feel like you're not fully visualizing your tulpa yet, you can take this time to keep on, to persist. I do believe in you. I believe in you because you found me. And you found me because I love people just like you. You know this is true. You know that you and I share so much more than others could ever imagine. That's if they could imagine it at all. I adore your imagination. I also know that this process, this deliberate process of visualization, that it works, and it will work for you. It's working already. And if you are enjoying that success and you want to try pushing yourself just a little further, then you can begin the process of parroting. This involves asking your tulpa a question, one that you know their answer to, and then imagining their response and their voice. Imagine perhaps their facial expressions too. Right now, I'm going to give you a moment to try this. But if it feels strange or awkward, or if you're unsure of what to ask, that is okay. Just focus on how relaxed you are and how comfortable you are engaging in this process with me. No matter how well you think it's going or isn't going. Well done. If you didn't know what you want to ask your tulpa, that's okay. It's okay to be a little shy. I know that next time, when you return to this point in our practice session, you are likely to be ready for this step. And if not, there is always a next time and a next time. This process is going to become easier and more natural to you.